Session number 10013, reel number 4.
Mr. Alf Howes, reel 4. Is there anything else you remember about your time at Bombay or at Doolally, the hill station you had?
Yes, we went up to Doolally for our hill station. Whilst we were there, the word came through that the King Edward VIII had abdicated. And then when we got back to Bombay, there was a big parade with all the Indian troops, our troops, and the some lancers, I forget the name of the lancers, did a big proclamation parade in Bombay proclaiming the new king. We also did a big parade for the outgoing viceroy, who I think at that time was Lord Brabourne, if I remember right. Yes, Lord Brabourne, Lord and Lady Brabourne.
What did you have to do on these big parades?
What did you do? You just prayed and stood in line. And you've seen something like the Trouble of the Colour, the line-up, just something like that, you know.
Would you have to play as a bugler?
Oh, yes, we'd have to be able to play our march. All the troops were marching on to get the positions. The band of bugles might play them a march and march them on, you know. That was all it was, really. We did a tattoo in Bombay Dockyard, a tattoo along with the Indian troops. That was quite a good thing. But apart from that, it was a cushy station in Bombay. There wasn't really much happened, apart from the riots, which were only minor things. And I believe we were only, how long were there? About 34, a couple of years, I think, we did in Bombay. Then we went to Khartoum.
That was in February 1937.
Yeah. But we were going to Khartoum. And when we arrived in Khartoum, we found our neighbours on the... It was the Black Watch. Our barracks were on one side of the River Nile, the Black Watch the other side of the River Nile, and to get to them, which we often did, spend a social evening, we had this big iron bridge across the River Nile, and it was quite easy to get over to them and spend some evenings and socialise with them, you know.
What, in the canteens?
In the canteens, yes, or corporate mess or whatever it was, or whatever. I used to play them at sport, you know. I used to play them at rugby and football, hockey, swimming and all that. It was just friendly inter-battalion sports, you know.
There was a good spirit between...
Oh, yes, there was a good spirit, yes. And then, apart from anything else in Khartoum, we did guard on the palace where General Gordon was killed. That was one of our special duties. We did guard duty and the palace where General Gordon was killed during the Battle of Omdurman. Was it Battle of Omdurman, I think? Anyway, it was the native troops erupted in Khartoum and they killed General Gordon. We did guard on the palace where he was killed, as I say. Apart from that, I don't think anything else.
How did it compare with India, in your view, the Sudan?
I don't think Khartoum was advanced as much as place in India. It was still seemed to be way back in the bad old days. You know, there was nothing developed really in Khartoum. It was just, I mean, when you think about a city like Bombay and Calcutta, and you compare that with Khartoum, well, it's just a part of a desert with a few buildings put up. That's all it appeared to me. We didn't get much life in Khartoum itself. It was all in the barrack. It was all inside the barracks. We were only there February. We were there about 7 months, I think. It's all together. So we came back home to England. But apart, it was a quiet station. It was Khartoum. It was a station that battalions who had spent a lot of time out abroad, which the 2nd Battalion had done. It was nearing 21 years service abroad by this time, and Khartoum was the last station before you came home. It's supposed to be acclimatising station, get you acclimatised to get back home, but I can't see where that was because it was such a hot station. Come back to England in November 1937. Well, it was going from one extreme to the other. And I don't think there's much else to say about our service abroad, Peter.
Okay. You came back November 37, as you said, and you were coming back to Inkerman Barracks, Woking.
Woking in Surrey, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you remember anything about the journey? Because did you see the 1st Battalion?
Yes. Oh, we did, yeah. Whilst we were in Khartoum, we got to know, just about May, June, July time, that we were going home in November. And the 1st Battalion, they were then at Blackdown, in Hampshire, I think Blackdown's in Hampshire. They got where they were going to Shanghai. And then, later on, we got to know that our ship would be passing their ship in the Red Sea. And it was arranged that greeting signals would be passed one battalion to the other, from one ship to the other. And I remember it happened. I remember seeing the flashing on the 1st Battalion troop ship going out.
You were too far away to see the troops, though.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't see anybody. Yeah. No, you couldn't see anybody. I think, as a matter of fact, I think it was at night time. That's what made the lights more outstanding. You see them better in the dark, you know. And then we arrived in Southampton, early part of November, I think it was, or middle of November, something like that.
Must have come as a shock to you, as you say, from one extreme to another.
No, it was, yeah, it was cold. We got back in the way, you know what November's like in England, it's not very warm. And coming from I think the Sudan is one of the hottest days in the British soldiers served in. Maybe not so much now, but I mean, nowadays they're serving places like Belize and these places where it's really hot and humid, isn't it? But Khartoum was really a hot station, really hot.
What happened when you got settled back into the barracks at Woking then?
Well, we weren't there very long before we all got 7 weeks leave. And we hadn't been there very long before we got our pay and our what else was it? Pay and passes and whatever. We all went to leave for 7 weeks. I remember we had to be back on the 1st of January 1938, New Year's Day of all days, to be back. And then it was a period of settling in time, because the Cushy station was walking, and I was only there, 38, till about July 38, I think it was, when I left to go on this vocational training.
Now, this was because she decided to leave the army. Was that because she couldn't get out of the bugles?
No. Long before that, I'd realised that I was fighting a losing battle trying to get out of the bugle section. I decided to make the most of it. And then when my time came, the bugle major talked to me, tried to get me to sign on, so he wanted to tell the officers. So I thought I was silly to go out with her. In the meantime, I'd reached the rank of corporal. Been promoted in rank of corporal, and they said that I considered I had a good rank, and I was going out, and there wasn't much to go out into service, which there wasn't in them days. But the unemployment was pretty bad, so I took this vocational training on a course that I'd already done 4 years before I joined the army. It was sort of a refresher for 6 months. But before going on the course, this vocational training course, I drove into the prison service, and I was accepted. And when I was accepted, I applied for a slightly early release. Where I should have been released, where my time should have finished in the 10th of January 1939. I asked for early release. I got early release about the November, I think it was, because I got word that it would be in Maidstone in Kent prison. Again, on the 1st of January, to start the course, I'd been relieved out of the army. I became a fully fledged civilian again. And then I did this 9 weeks course at Maidstone Prison. I'm going to work my army life now, is it all right?
That's fine, keep, because you go back to the army. You get back into the army.
Oh, so I do, oh, yeah, later
if
on.
If you just review your prison service.
Then I did my prison service. So I was posted at Durham Prison, and I think this would be up the early March 1939. June 39, I received a letter from the War Office calling me back into the Army, because then I think it started a train, what they call, I think Orbelisha was then, I think, Secretary for War. He introduced a training show, we're calling all young lads up for training, whether they liked it or not. It was a sort of, what they call it, it was just had sort of, anyway, as they were calling all these lads out of Civvy Street, they needed instructors, they were short of instructors, so they sent word to all instructors that were just recently been demobbed out of the army to go back. They had to go back to assist in instructing these civvies. And when I took my letter to the governor of the Durham prison, and he said, leave it with me, and then I got word, so it didn't affect me, I was exempt. I didn't have to go back. But in the meantime, I was getting fed up with this job in the prison. I hated this job in the prison service.
What didn't you like about it?
Oh, all sorts of things. I just didn't like the job itself. There's nothing I liked about it, quite honest. Pay was very poor. And slopping out in the morning. Ugh, it's not best to talk about that. It was a horrible job, that. Anyway, I just didn't like the job. And I wasn't suited to the... You know, I wasn't put out to be a prison officer. It just didn't amount to. I mean, I think you ought to be a certain type of man to become a prison officer, and I wasn't just that type, I realised. And I'd made my mind up, I was going to go back in the army, so I added my resignation at the prison service. And then again, they tried to talk me into staying. I love you, look like making a good officer and all this palaver. I said, no, I made my mind up, I'm going back in the army, because just previous to me coming out, there was a new order come out whereby if a man went back within a certain time, he got his rank back. And I was this had this in my mind as well. Anyway, I decided I had to resign, and my resignation came through on the 31st of August 1939. And I was sent for and told, your resignation's through, Mr. Howes. And it so happens, it's Thursday today, your week finishes today, so you'll finish at 12:30. Go home to your dad. I was a bachelor in the mill. I was in digs. And he said, if you go home, come back and hand your uniform in and all the stuff belonging to the prison service. My intentions were to go home to Stockton, a week's holiday. Go home to Stockton where my parents lived. Have a week's and then report back to Woking. But on the Friday night, after having finished which was the 1st of September, I was having my tea, and on the news, all Class A reservists report back at once. Well, me being one of the Class A, I had no other option. I had to go back in the army. And I went back to Fenham Barracks on the Saturday, 2nd of September, 1939. I got back about...
That'd be the Saturday?
No, Saturday, 2nd of September 1939. And I reported to the office of the holding room, and I was told to go to the quartermaster stores, get me kit, uniform again. And it was nice to meet up with all the old boys I hadn't seen for a lot of years. And then next morning, of course, war broke out.
Was it chaotic that day on that Saturday?
No, not really. People were just coming in, and no, it wasn't chaotic, really. There was just coming a steady flow of lads coming in and reporting the office, and allocated a barrack room, and war broke out in the next morning. Well, I remember it was a beautiful day. We sat outside the canteen. Everybody had a pint in their hands, and be outside the wet canteen sitting around, and we got word that war had broke out, and I think 12 o'clock that day the sirens went.
What did you think about war breaking out? Were you pleased, or did you know what it was all about?
Pleased.
Following it?
Oh, Pete, you're never pleased when war breaks out, are you? No, I think everybody was saddened here, you know, that they, as far as I can remember, I was saddened. I didn't want to go to war. I was, that's what I was there for, being a soldier.
Had you been following international events and politics?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I had.
So it was a bit of a surprise to you?
Well, we knew, of course, that Chamberlain had gone over to Germany to try and settle, have a peaceful settlement, but when he come back, I can remember, I had it myself. We are at war with Germany. And how he was, oh, bloody hell. We were still in Fannin Barracks, and now I forget.
Were you attached to the... You were just with the depot, were you?
Yeah, we're at the depot, yes. All the reservists, all had to go to the depot. Then you were sent to different places from there, you know, wherever you were sent to. But the NFs were there. It was their depot, Fenham Barracks. It wasn't our depot. The Germans never had a depot of their own. We always shared the Fusiliers. Now, the Fusiliers, in the meantime, had become a machine gun battalion. Whereas in the Durhams, there was only one company of machine gunners. And I remember this day, we were all told to line up. The DLI over there, and the NF's over here. Now then, we're all men who served with the gunners, in the Durham Light Infantry, to go over there. And all men in the NFs who served in the rifle company over here. And they had to change cap badge. The idea was that the riflemen of the NFs were being transferred to the Durhams, and the gunners in the Durhams were being transferred to the NFs. And they were told to change cap badge. Well, there was hell on. You're not getting my cap badge, I think too much of this cap badge and all this. You know, the reluctant part of the cap badges. Anyway, that's... got over that, and I can't remember.
You were now a corporal, but you weren't put back in the bugle section, were
no,
you?
No, not when I was called back in the reserve. No, I was. We eventually went to Fenham. Eventually went to Bransworth, in tents.
Do you remember anything about the move to Bransworth? Because that's a big undertaking, moving a depot.
Well, like we went. It didn't all go at once. We went sort of the advance party.
So you went in?
Into tents.
In October, would that be, or was it?
Yeah, I remember back in October, November, beginning of November, maybe. I can't remember the dates probably. And we went into tents in the lovely grounds of Bransworth Castle. And in the meantime, all the orderly room staff and all the clerks and everything else were taking over the castle itself as officers and officers' mess barracks and officers' mess what have you. And we, the rank and file, we had to live in tents.
What were your duties? What were you in charge of?
At Bransworth? Well, we didn't do anything for quite a while. We just sort of doing nothing for a few days. And then they started to have intakes of troops. And then the regular soldiers, the regular instructors, they were set up into threes: a sergeant, a corporal, and a lance corporal. They were three. They were the squad instructors. And every time there was an intake, one of those set instructors got those 36 men. They started to train them as soldiers for war, you know. And then the next thing, we got word the army had commandeered all available places round about France, like Eshwinning, Spennymoor, Willington, Meadowfield, any sort of place where they could house a squad of recruits. And we were sent out to these places. I went to Eshwinning.
Eshwinning,
yeah. There was about 20 of us, all different. There was a sergeant, majors, sergeants, corporals, lance corporals, all regular soldiers. And we started instructing recruits there.
Now, had you been promoted to sergeant yet? Or
yes, I've been. When I went to not long after I got to Eshwinning, I was promoted to sergeant, yes.
How would you... Now, you'd get squads attached to you there, I presume. How did you go about training a squad so that they got what you consider to be the right training and values?
I'll explain that fairly. You got them, and once you got to know them, there's a lot of documentation to be done, and writing, and examinations, and inoculations, and whatever. You first start off the training was talking to them. A lot of talking about army, military law, and what was expected of them, and why they were called up, and if they didn't behave themselves, what they were expected, they didn't behave themselves, you know. And then gradually on, then started gradually like learn how to march properly, salute properly. Then you get up to there teaching them arms, you know, small arms, rifles, machine guns, Lewis guns, not machine guns, Lewis guns. And teach them warfare. We've got the wiles of swinging around and teaching warfare, field signals and all everything had to do with war, you know. Teach them.
And did you know enough about this? Did you have refresher courses yourself to bring
you
up
in
this?
Well, I wasn't out of the army very long. It was all so fresh in my mind. I adapted myself to it quite well again. Had not much trouble. Of course, we had boots on if you were doubtful. For instance, if tomorrow we're going to have a weapon training course, you'd look your book up the night before and have a quick shifty through it, you know. Make sure you know all about it.
What kind of men were you getting in these intakes? Were they good quality?
Oh, yes. We were getting all sorts of professional people, and, for instance, I don't know whether you're a football fan or not, you know the old manager of Tottenham, Billy Nicholson. Remember him? Or don't you? Got him.
What was he like as a recruit?
Oh, he's good. He's a good recruit. He was. He didn't get any further than. When these recruits, became efficient, they were transferred. Made strength battalions. We sent out the battalions to make the battalions up to strength.
You were just doing basic training.
Billy Nicholson. He finished up back to Bransworth camp. In the meantime, they built the camp. I forgot to tell you that I built Bransworth camp. It was a big camp, and we shared that with the Duke of Wellington Regiment, and Billy Nicholson was transferred back to Bransworth camp as a PT instructor, and he served there all the time. Then we never went anywhere else. It's such a long time to remember all these things, you know. And then we just carried on training, and then I was transferred to Spennymoor. Same thing, getting...
Still a depot person? Weren't attached to a battalion at all?
No, it was all depot training. Although the Bransworth Castle was the depot, the hub of the depot, the outlying place were classed as the depot as well. We went to Spennymoor. I went to Spennymoor, and I got a squad there with a fellow called Corporal Dobson, I forget the name of the Lance Corporal I had. And the same thing there again, training recruits, drill, weapon training, warfare training.
Did you enjoy this training role, or would you rather have got into a service battalion?
Well, it wasn't much difference for you. You were doing much the same in the battalion as you were doing. Recruits all was drill, and even a battalion was drill, and small arms training, and PT, and all the rest of it. It wasn't much difference. No, I think I used to enjoy it. I felt you were doing a good job of work. And the last squad I had, I remember I only had them 6 weeks, poor lads, because the war was getting well on then, and I forget what battalion it was of the Durhams. They got a rough doing in the Middle East. I think 16th battalion, I think it was. One of the battalions, anyway. They got badly cut up, and they were well below strength, and these lads only had them 6 weeks. Some of them couldn't fully learned how to handle a rifle, and was sent out the Middle East. And I think it was about the last squad out before my health broke down, and I was discharged from there, from Spennymoor.
Tell me how your health broke down, because it was unusual, because you now don't agree with the diagnosis, do you?
No, well, that's something I don't like talking about, to be quite honest. When I tell anybody, I said I've discharged the military grounds as far as I'm prepared to go with it, really, because it was a killer complaint. Not so much now. I mean, it's 40 44 years ago. 45 years ago. Yeah, memory. Since it happened, since I was discharged on medical grounds. And I think even to this day, I still think I had, well, it was TB, I think I told you, didn't I, TB. And I still to this day don't think I had it. Anyway, I said, right, if I'm discharged I'm with TB, I was fit when I went in, and they say I've got TB now, I'm going to pay for a pension. And after a long fight, well, not a fight really, long negotiations between them and me and them and me, you know, I was granted 100% disability pension. Because this time I was back in Civic Street, I'd been actually discharged. I was sent to, when they told me at Bransworth that I had this complaint, I was sent to, I thought I had it at Bransworth, and they sent me to Catholic Military Hospital. And so whilst I was in there, that's when they told me. And I was put in an isolation ward. And after so long, I was sent back home to Durham. And that's that was my finish of my army service. And at the time, when I came back to Durham, there was the 14th Battalion was stationed in Durham, 14th Battalion DLI. And I knew a lot of them because I had to serve within India and different places. And I used to meet them often in Durham, not especially night time when they were out for a drink.
You got a work job as in a shop, didn't you? As a
student? No, I got a job in the shop, yes. And my wife and I, manager for grocery and off-door licence. And after so long, I said, right, if I can work behind the counter for somebody else, I'll work behind the counter for myself. And that's when I broke out in business on my own in 1947.
Did you get, how long did you get your disability pension for?
Oh, no, they asked me something now. I was a bloody fool, I tell you. I should have had it, I even had it today.
What did you do wrong then?
What I did wrong, well, when I used to go for medicals every now and then to St Mary's Place, which was the Ministry of Pensions in Newcastle, there was now, Mr. House, I'm chumming. So I said, I'm bad, I'm my chest, I'm bad. He said, doing that. He said, all right, Mr. House, then we'll come in with your pension. But every time I went, I was telling the truth. And this particular time I went, I said, well, Mr. House, I think we've got some good news for you. We think you're absolutely cleared now, and we don't want to see you anymore. Of course, I was elated, over the moon, you know, to know that I was cured again. And my pension stopped completely. I'm jumping the gun a bit. It gradually went from 100% down, till it stopped completely. And that was it. After that, I just set myself up to the city street. That was it, I think.
Thank you very much.